Penguin Random House Audio presents Somehow, Thoughts on Love. This is the author, Anne Lamott. This is dedicated to my grandson, Jax Lamott. The Guest House by Rumi, translated by Coleman Barks. This being human is a guest house, every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Overture. My husband said something a few years ago that I often quote, 80% of everything that is true and beautiful can be experienced on any 10-minute walk. Even in the darkest and most devastating times, love is nearby if you know what to look for. It does not always appear at first to be lovely, but instead may take the form of a hot mess or a snoring old dog or someone you have sworn to never, ever forgive, for a possibly very good reason, if you ask me. But mixed in will also be familiar signs of love: wings, good-hearted people, cats, when they are in the right mood, a spray of wildflowers, a cup of tea. What are we even talking about when we talk about love? What is it? I asked a 6-year-old friend of mine. Oh, it's just this stuff, he said, rolling his eyes. I think that's right. Love is caring, affection, and friendliness, of course, compassion and a generous heart. It is also some kind of energy or vibration, because everything is, the same stuff moving at different speeds, from glaciers to 6-year-old boys. I wish the movement of love in our lives more closely resembled the grace of a ballerina, but no, love mainly tromps and plops, falls over and tiptoes through our lives. Love looks like us, and that can be a little daunting. Love is why we are here at all, on the couch and in the world with a heart for the common good, why we have hope and a lifeline when we don't. There is sweet family love, entangled by history, need, frustration, and annoyance. There is community love, a love of music, Zorba's reckless love of life. It can be vital or serene. There is the ecstatic love for the natural world or in bed. There's the love of justice or the radical transforming love of what we might call goodness, Gus, the great universal spirit, or God. Love is often hard, ignored, or hilarious, eventually. Love looks like you, to me and a few others, and this is the hardest thing to believe. One thing is certain: love is our only hope. Love springs from new life. Love springs from death. Love acts like Gandhi and our pets and Jesus and Mr. Bean and Mr. Rogers and Bette Midler. Love just won't be pinned down. Love is Florence Nightingale and Coyote Trickster, who messes with us by way of his teachings about how we might possibly, grudgingly, awaken to the glory of life. Love is the warmth we feel in the presence of a favorite aunt, the kindness of a waitress, and the warmth of the hand that pulls us back to our feet when the loss of love has all but destroyed us. It is this stuff which any kid and most poets will tell you we experience in our hearts. Nonsense, you may say. Love arises and is regulated in a part of the brain called the amygdala. How right you are once again, and how happy that must make you, as it often does me, and why I so need the intervention of love. Do I want to be right, or to have a loving heart? And will this be on the test? My brain also controls my breathing, but man, do I love my lungs. On a 10-minute walk anywhere, from outside my gate with its broken latch to the loudest block in Brooklyn to Garbage City in Cairo, love abounds and abides, flirts and weeps with us. It is there for the asking, which is the easy part. Our life's toughest work is in the receiving. Love presents most obviously in babies and kids being cuddled, yet also as patients with annoying humans we live or work with or are. We feel love upon seeing our favorite neighbors and first responders. We see it in fundraising efforts, peace marches, kindergarten classrooms, gardens. When flowers don't stir feelings of love in me, something is gumming up the works. In a 10-minute walk from home the other day, I passed a house with a new baby, another with a recent death, then two houses down a loud argument between a usually devoted couple, an English garden, an abandoned shack behind wood piles on a desolate lot, boxes of bees buzzing honey into existence, and terrified parents chasing after little kids careening away on their first two-wheelers. I have lived in this neighborhood for nearly 2 decades, and I know every house on the block. I have nursed a woman and her small children through her way too early death, and been there for the family across the street when their 21-year-old child jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge. On our first date, I brought my future husband home to the house where 7 years earlier, my 19-year-old son had brought home his first child. We helped raise Sam's boy in the tiny grassy park right across the street. Nana and Neil are tree huggers. I stood in the same street with my attic son in 2011 with a sharpened pencil held near his throat and told him he could not come back until he stopped using, and then welcomed him back a month later with 10 days clean and sober 12 years ago tomorrow. We in the hood isolated during COVID and walked 6 feet away from one another as lovingly as we could, waving. Waving can be love, as well as stop and chats and shouted compliments on their camellia bush. We did what we could to help one another and the very poor a few miles away. Our 90-year-old neighbor Jesse passes by on his walks every day. Way too many arrogant and ecstatic bicyclists race too fast past him and me on their way to the water district ponds, where flotillas of ducks paddle by and egrets stand looking like Bernie Sanders with their unruly haircuts and posture. Our dogs had their last meals of hot dogs and ice cream here in the corner park on their way to whatever awaits us all, breaking our hearts forever until we brought our next dogs here to meet the team. We stood outside on days before elections and promised each other that the unthinkable was not going to happen. And then when it did, we met here again the next day, clutching our heads. A few minutes' walk from my front door, unhoused people come to sit on a memorial bench in the shade kitty-corner from the park, one of whom is my woolly friend Ben. The neighbors pile giveaways on the bench, clothes, egg poachers, and baby gear, infuriating some neighbors who vent on next door about the unsightly mess, but a blessing to others, i.e. to me. This bench itself was carved by a townsperson long ago, live edge and beautifully rustic. It holds us all, me, Ben, Jesse. When we are paying attention, we see how much holds us invisibly. Love is a bench. There are 2 benches in the little park and 8 redwoods. Tightrope walkers set up their wire above the grass and practice for hours. Older people faithfully do Tai Chi early in the day. Dog people sit together and catch up while their dogs run and play. One small dog ran into the street recently and got hit, but she lives on joyfully with 3 legs. After dark in the summer, teenagers get drunk and stoned here and then drive away, leaving their litter behind. My grandson has just turned 14, and because I love him more than anything, my heart is often in my throat. Love can be very scary. In fact, love is a
sample complete. Ready to continue?